creator, sustainer, and redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Good evening. Good evening.
Good evening.
On this Commandment Thursday, or Maundy Thursday, with a myriad of other names like Sheer Thursday, Thursday of Mysteries, we yearn to hear what God is telling us tonight. Just what is this new commandment he sets before us? From the Passover story in Exodus, to Paul's description of the first Eucharist, to John's recounting of Jesus' washing of the disciples' feet, I hear quite clearly Jesus' new commandment that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should also love one another. But I think we miss the other part of what Jesus is saying to us. Remember. When you think about it, isn't that what all faith practices are? Reliving and remembering the words and actions of our chosen gods and prophets? I think these readings are to show us that we are to remember our time in the wilderness, remember God's gift to us, and remember to have love for one another by remembering God's words and actions to us. Why remember and do what is commanded of us? So that, in Jesus' words, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples. We hear this commandment to remember every time we celebrate the Eucharist, no matter what liturgical version we use. Do this and remember me, or do this in remembrance of me. And what is a Passover meal or the Eucharist except a time to get together and remember a time together with and for God? This shall be a day of remembrance for you, commands the Lord in Exodus. And Jesus commands us to love one another after demonstrating his love in the manner of a servant. Jesus asks us to remember his example, just as the Lord commands the Israelites to demonstrate their communal memory with the Passover feast. The nice part is God tells them just how to do it. Personally, I'm a rule follower, so I love getting rules right from God, especially with all the important details: when to do it, what to wear, what to eat, how to prepare it, even how to decorate your doorpost and lintel. Yet the words Jesus speaks, though they are few and simple, are not so easy to follow or completely understand. I kind of wish Jesus had put some qualifiers in there, like maybe love most of the other people. You don't have to include people who annoy you or do or say truly terrible things. And certainly, you don't have to love anyone who betrays you. I mean, that would be crazy. But his new commandment doesn't have any of those yes but options for us. We see him demonstrate his love for his disciples by taking a servant's role and washing their feet, as we see God telling Moses and Aaron to gather together and remember their time as slaves. By the way, he also includes this rule: if a household is too small for a whole lamb, it shall join its closest neighbor in obtaining one. In other words, share with your neighbor from your abundance when remembering God's works among us. Why remember our time in the wilderness? Isn't that like reliving a bad accident or serious illness or a loss that you suffered and not getting over it and moving on? Isn't that what we're supposed to do? God, why do I have to remember the terrible times or the last time I was with a loved one? It's so painful. I think it's because if you don't remember what got you to the promised land, you can never truly rejoice in it. Like when you're sick with the flu and you get better, you experience such joy in feeling good in comparison to how bad you felt before. But it's not all sweetness and light when you get there. As Libby mentioned in her sermon a couple of weeks ago, reaching the promised land can mean that is when the true work begins. All the joy we may feel because it seems that our time in the wilderness is over can then be replaced by the realization of all the work we need to do to retain this promised land. Unfortunately for a rule follower like me, God doesn't share the details of the rules of the next steps, except for one, that one about love one another as I have loved you. Sometimes I feel as if Jesus is begging us to remember this rule, just this one rule, this golden rule passed on through faithful generations of treating others as we would like to be treated, by welcoming the stranger, showing hospitality to all, not just those who you love. Jesus shares his Last Supper with his friends and the one who will betray him. He washes all of their feet, not just his favorites. He's asking us to do the same. Become a servant to others and be free. Why? Because by this, everyone will know you are my disciples if you have love for one another. This is my first Holy Week since visiting the Holy Land in November with Libby and other people from all around our diocese, including both bishops, six priests, and a bunch of us lay people. It was such a profound experience to be in the holy places where millions of others have been, to visit and remember God's work in our world, and walking where Jesus walked 2 millennia ago. One place I remember especially tonight is when we visited the Garden of Gethsemane and the Church of All Nations, officially known as the Basilica of the Agony. The garden at the foot of the Mount of Olives seems like a retreat from the busy world around it, so it's easy to picture Jesus choosing to go there to pray before his betrayal and crucifixion. All the places we visited over the 2 weeks affected some of us more than others, but this place hit all of us, almost visibly to each other. As we piled out of the bus and gathered around the fenced-in garden, our faces pale, our words left us as we walked around the garden, some saying silent prayers, others crying, all of us trying to picture Jesus in this place, about to be betrayed, abandoned by his beloved disciples, begging God for maybe another way to show God's love for all of his people. Each of us then entered the Basilica of the Agony on our own time, going at our own pace, and we spent as much time there as needed before leaving and traveling to Bethpage and the Palm Sunday walk. As I walked into the church, I was greeted by a huge painting at the altar of the Basilica, which illustrates the moment when Jesus is secluded in his prayer on the holy rock and flanked by olive trees. On the floor of the hall lays a flat rock. According to tradition, this is the holy rock of agony, where Jesus conducted his prayer. It is in front of the altar where you can kneel and touch it around the small fencing. I did that and felt actual pain at what our Lord went through for us, to save us. But when I sat back down and looked up at the painting, I got mad. Not mad at God, but mad at the depiction I saw there. Jesus hunched over the rock, obviously in agony, alone except for the olive trees, and an angel way, way, way up there. Her wings are spread, her hands are folded in prayer, and she looks down. But she gets no closer to Jesus. Unless there's a part two to this painting, I think the angel stays right there. I'm not a theologian or an art expert, but I think this depiction is off base and just plain wrong. I want the angel to come down, reach out to Jesus, and be close to him, comforting him through his agony. The God I love and follow, the God who came to save us, the God whose job was to remove sin from us and for us, did not and does not do it from afar. He became one of us and walked alongside us, guiding us, correcting us, comforting us, and he does still to this very day. The God in Exodus and the God in John's Gospel do things. They take actions to comfort us, teach us, and all they ask of us is to remember and do likewise. So tonight, I think God is asking us to remember him. Remember that he remembers us. Remember we are all beloved children of God, no matter who we are, what we believe, or where we are from. We are commanded not only to love one another, but to do as he did. Share a lamb with your neighbor if he needs one and you have plenty. Become a servant to others. Love each other as God did. Wash each other's feet. Share a meal. But remember to remember God's words and actions among us and for us. That is God's gift to us tonight. Remember this day and keep it holy. This shall be a day of remembrance for you. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord and be free. As Psalm 116 says, O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant and the child of your handmaid. You have freed me from my bonds. Remember that, my friends. Amen. Amen.